Psalm 100 in verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." I want you to say that with me this morning. Say, "For the Lord is good, and his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Now I want you to say it with a smile on your face. "For the Lord is good, and his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." We're talking about the blessing of the Lord this morning. And our main scripture text is a verse that I have been meditating on for the past year and a half. I went before the Lord and I said, "Lord, I would like to grow in my generosity." Pastor Josh and I were tithers and givers. That already belongs to the Lord. Generosity is a whole different thing. Our main scripture text, if you want to turn there in your Bibles, I encourage you to. You can get on the app. We've got quite a few scriptures in our message notes this morning. We may get through them all, we may not, but I want you to read through each and every one of them because it's going to paint a story of the blessing of God. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. "The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. When I was 14 years old, I made the decision that I wanted to teach in children's church. You all didn't know me as a 14-year-old. I was quite hyperactive, quite the character, and up until that point, I was grounded and got in trouble weekly. Praise God for godly discipline and parents that pray for their children. My mom said, "And I used to pray, God, you're going to use all this boldness for your glory. Lord, you're going to use all of these words for your glory." You see, what my mom was doing in that time, she was watering me. And in my parents watering me, I had a desire in my heart to then water others, to flow from that place of blessing. Because we look at blessing and we think, what is blessing? God, what does this even look like in my life? Blessing is that you are flourishing. There's a multiplication of life, the Zoe kind of life, the God kind of life. And that when your soul is blessed, your heart is happy. That kind of happiness or joy, it's not based upon circumstances. It's from within. It's the river of life flowing from the source of life. So my parents are watering me, and my daddy said, "Anna, if you're going to serve, then you're going to be faithful. This doesn't mean you're serving one time and then you back out. You're going to meet with our children's pastor." At that time, we had these huge curriculum notebooks. And she set that notebook on the table and she said, "Okay, this is what you're going to do." The way we were set up, all of the kids, my dad's a pastor. And in that children's ministry, it was a large children's ministry. All of the kids would start together and have worship. And we'd play games, have icebreakers. And then on Sunday mornings, we would break off into individual classrooms based upon your grade. So I was put in charge at 14 years old of all of the first graders. I planned a party once a month. But our children's pastor put that notebook down in front of me and she said, "Okay, you will study your curriculum each week. You're going to come in prepared. You're going to know what you're doing." I taught the first grade class all 4 years in high school. Went to prom, showed up the next morning at church, all those bobby pins in my hair, about 100 of them to be exact, and taught that first grade class. I accidentally taught them the wrong amount of books of the Bible one Sunday. Had to type up a little note and send out a note to all of the parents. "I will correct my mistake." During that time, my parents were watering me from a place of the generosity where they themselves were being watered. And then I was able to go in at 14 years old and water the next generation. That generation, those first graders, the majority of them are still at New Life Church in Huntington, West Virginia. So many of them are leaders. And they say, Miss Anna, they all called me Miss Anna from the time I was 14 and up. She led me to Jesus. From that point of being watered, the Lord stirred in my heart the calling of God upon my life. And when I went to Bible college, I said, Lord, I'd like to be a missionary. I really want to be an evangelist. I want to be something cool and really exciting. And you know, the gift that the Lord had placed on the inside of me was to minister to kids. And he said, actually, you're going to go into the children's ministry department because I've called you to be a children's pastor in this season. That seed was sown at 14 years old. Actually, even before, when my parents were ministering and showing me what it looked like to live in the blessing of the Lord, to live in a place where you're flourishing. Whenever you break the scripture down, the generous soul in the Hebrew, it's the soul of blessing. It's that man who is a blessing to others, who does good to them. It's a blessing that is used for a gift. And today as we walk through this sermon, I've got 3 points. We're going to get to them. But I believe by the Spirit of God, what's going to just arise within you, you're going to see the blessing of God upon your life. And truly, you're going to have that statement before the Lord. God, I want to grow in generosity. God, I want you to use me from a place. Trailhead Church is going to be the most generous church in this county in 2024. I believe it. Because God's word doesn't come back void. This word going forth will accomplish and prosper that for which it was sent to do. The word rich in this scripture is literally fat. Translated in the King James Version, the liberal soul will be made fat. What does that mean? In countries, you know, it talks about where they have little to eat. The metaphor to be fattened connotes wealth, abundance, really a health or a full satisfaction. God wants us to be a healthy church. He wants your family to be healthy. He wants you to live in a place where you are living out the abundance of Christ Jesus in every aspect of your life. Then he who waters will also be watered himself, that when we give, God knows how to give unto us. We can't water without first being watered ourselves. And you know you're never the loser for your God-guided generosity. You're never gonna, you can't outgive God. He's the biggest giver in this church. Isn't that a just mind-opening thought? He's the biggest giver in your house. There are many of you this morning, you don't recognize just how blessed you are. I pray by the Spirit of God, today you will. Charles Spurgeon said, if I want to get water, I must give water. Though that seems a strange way of self-serving, I pray you try it. We're not doing this the world's way. Blessing has nothing to do with the world. Blessing has everything to do with who God is and his grace and his mercy upon our lives. We've got to get out of this mindset that I'm looking at blessing or I'm looking at generosity the way that the world portrays it. Because that's not it. Because even as I'm ministering this morning, I'm being refreshed. As I'm watering you, the Lord's just watering me. Tonight, we're going to have baptism. I think we've got 19 people getting baptized tonight. Praise God. Every one of us should come out and celebrate what God's doing in their lives. But you know what's cool about this? When they get submersed in that water, it's a testimony of Jesus. That Jesus Christ, the river of life is flowing through their life, and he has watered them, and then they're going to come up out of this showing that the dead man is gone, and they're a disciple of Christ so that they can go and be a blessing to others. What we're waking up to this morning is that freely you have received, freely you shall give. And out of that place of abundance and blessing, there is such joy, such peace, satisfaction, encouragement. It's beautiful. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus, his very word said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This is a mindset change. That we're waking up to God, I want to water others. When he waters us, that's all on him. He just does it. You know, God operates in the law of seed, time, and harvest. What you sow, you will reap. As we walk through this today, there's going to be an awakening because blessing, when you study it out through the word of God, blessing involves our words, right? Involves our actions. It's a position of our heart. It's a place of encouragement. It's how we receive. So many beautiful places of blessing and generosity. I'm excited about it. And I pray that you get excited about it too. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The Lord's going to paint us a picture of Elisha helping out a poor widow woman. This is where we're going to get our main text of just walking through these three points. And before we read this, the first thing that I want to bring out today is that God's blessing is my choice. God's blessing is my choice. You see, God's already provided abundant life through Christ Jesus. His blessing is always available for your life. We're going to have to wake up to that this morning. That it's my choice on whether or not I choose blessing. Let's read this. 2 Kings chapter 4. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." You and your sons can live on what is left over. Are you preparing for a blessing today? Let it sink in. Are you preparing for God to bless you today? Every day, I have the opportunity to exercise my faith and choose a blessing over my home. Every day, I have an opportunity to exercise my faith in Christ Jesus and choose a blessing. If you have children, over your children. Choose a blessing over your spouse if you're married. Choose a blessing over how you serve the Lord. Choose a blessing over your coworkers. Choose a blessing over a generosity that flows from the throne room of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, it says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. Why? So that you and your descendants might live. She had a choice that day. You see, her sons, according to the law, they could have been taken in as slaves due to the debt that was owed. She had a choice that day to simply bow down and say, well, this is all I have is a little jar of oil. Or, you know what? My house is a house that serves the Lord. I'm going to go to the man of God. And I'm going to see what he has to say. God, there has to be something more. God, I know that your blessing is on this home. There has to be something more of what you want to do, not only just for me, but for my children. She had a choice that day to choose life or actual death. Every single day, you have a choice on whether you bless your kids or whether you curse them. I went through a season where I was like, y'all are driving me crazy. I had 4 kids in 7 years. My oldest are 3 boys. And then a daughter who was the CEO of the family. We moved here. We did not have family to help. And we chose this, all right? You know, the very thing that God has blessed you with, it's crazy how sometimes we curse it. Here you've been praying to get married and then you curse your husband. Something's wrong with that. You've been praying for all these kids, and then you're calling them crazy all the time. The Lord said, what are you speaking over your children right now? Praise God for the Holy Ghost rising up inside of us, correcting us to turn those words around. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will be watered himself. This widow woman had a choice to make. And in this choice, she really had to choose whether or not she was going to trust in God. You know, trusting in God isn't based upon your circumstance. It's based upon his word and what he's told you to do. If we're allowing our circumstances to define us, we will always live in the land of lack. So she comes to this man of God, and then she had to make a choice. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. My dependence cannot be on me. Because if I look at what I have, I've got a measly little jar. She actually called it nothing. How many times have you looked at your life and you say, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to sow. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You have something to give to the kingdom of God today. And it's time that we begin to exercise our faith and go to the Lord and realize that it's my choice on what I receive from him and how I flow in this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. I like to know what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. Josh and I have been to the desert several times. Death Valley is one of his favorite places on this earth. And you see these sad little plants in the desert. I have this picture of, you know, and then a tumbleweed goes by, and you're like, it's just the sad little prickly plant. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. I've had to ask myself this question, am I trusting in God today? Or am I putting my trust in human hands? Am I putting my trust in my bank account? Am I putting my trust in what I see that we have? Am I putting my trust in worldly operations? You see, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm a part of the kingdom of God. It's an unshakable kingdom. The issue we're having is we go through this pandemic, fear reigns through this pandemic, and then people come out of it wanting to hoard everything they have, not even that you would even give a roll of toilet paper away. Then you come in and you're thinking, oh, I just. It was hard, right? We experienced life and death. And walking through this, we can find ourselves being trapped in a land of complacency, in a land of laziness, in a land of spiritual lethargy, in a land where we're not allowing the generosity of the river of life to flow through us, to water others, when God tells us that it's better to give than to receive. And when we do, He just waters us because He's faithful. He can't deny His faithfulness. Even when we're not faithful, God still is faithful. It says they are like trees planted along a riverbank. Get the picture of the little dry prickly bush. Now I want you to get a picture of this. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." You need to plant that word in your heart today. Yep. Why? Because this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God gave you this to combat every lie from Satan. There are many of you that you've been wanting to press out in a place of generosity, and Satan comes in and, you know, will say some stupid lie that you can't do it. It's time to take a stand with your gospel shoes of peace, look him in the eye, and say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Why? Because God's blessing's my choice. It's my choice. Then what I love about this woman boldly went to the man of God. When is the last time that you boldly went to God in the mighty name of Jesus? Why do we do this? Some of you say, well, why? Because it brings glory to the Father when you do. We were created to glorify the Lord, to have relationship with God. We should be boldly going to the throne room of God every single day with every aspect of our lives. Jesus is our high priest in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come weakly. Is that what it says? Let us come in fear and trembling. Let us come afraid, torment. Let us come what?
Boldly.
What?
Boldly.
Oh, I don't know. I can't hear you. Oh, that was bold. That was pretty bold. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We've been given authority in the mighty name of Jesus to come boldly to the throne room of God with everything we need, to receive His grace, His mercy, what He has for our lives. In John chapter 15, when we talk about abiding in the vine, I've got this in the Amplified. He says, if my words remain in you, or if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if we're vitally united, that His message lives in your heart, whatever you ask, whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. There's a place of remaining in the vine. Of remaining, of His words remaining in you, of recognizing, God, your blessing is a, you might not know this because you haven't read it yet and hasn't become a revelation in your spirit, man. But whenever you begin to press in and remain in Him, and His words remain in you, He says that you can go to Him and ask what you wish. Why? Because it's going to be according to the word and will of God. And it will be done unto you. Why? To glorify your Father in heaven. God wants to bless you. God wants to water your family. God wants your children to rise up and call you blessed. God has created you to live in a land flowing with milk and honey, but you're going to have to believe Him and trust in it. It's your choice. It was their choice. You can look at the circumstance and the giant, the tiny bottle of oil, or you can say, I'm going to the man of God, and bless God, I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to say what he tells me to say. Number two, God's blessing brings a greater expectation. God's blessing brings a greater expectation. You guys, God has more. It's time to expect more. Stop looking and thinking the worst. In your life and everybody else's life, it's hard to be generous when you think the worst of the person God's telling you to be generous to. Right? Am I right? God, I don't want to bless them. They're nasty. Where's God in that? It's hard for you to step out and expect more for yourself when you live in a land of condemnation. Right? When you feel you have nothing to give. It's challenging. If you're living in this place or you're constantly looking at what everyone else is lacking in. Oh, don't we live in that day and age? It's time to expect more, believe more, encourage more, bless more. It's time to look at our life at this place of abundance. This widow woman had to do this herself. You know, I like that he said, I want you to borrow as many vessels as you can. Her faith in the oil that was poured out, when did it stop flowing? When the vessels ran out, right? The more you expect of God. If she would have had one more vessel, would more oil have came out?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's growing in here. I can tell. Spirit of faith is rising. You know what the Lord ministered to me? He said, Anna, I have given you everything that you need. What are your vessels that you're pouring into? Because the more vessels you pour into from the anointing of God, you see the Holy Spirit is represented as the oil of God, the anointing of God, and it's a continual flow if we continually pour. But it's going to take a group effort. She had to go to her neighbors. She had to go to her friends. God's going to expect you to exercise your faith. Why? Because we are the body united, coming together to fulfill a purpose for the kingdom of God. She had to get out of her house. Go knock on doors. Do you have a vessel I can borrow? Do you have a vessel I can have? Oh, I need a vessel today. And then as she began to trust God and begin to pour, it was God that added the increase. There have been some things in my life that I had stopped pouring into. Oh, the vessels were there, but I wasn't trusting God with it. Yeah. It's time for us to even look in a greater measure. God, what vessels? Your children are vessels of honor and glory that you should be pouring into the blessings and the power and the fire of God every single day. That you're pouring into the blessing that God has given you. That you're pouring into this church of the vessels. What I'm doing right now is pouring of what God has entrusted me with. Isn't that beautiful? It's time that we begin to expect more. And it was the same oil, the same source. God's not calling me out to go become a veterinarian tomorrow, okay? That's not the oil he's given me. This is knowing the gifts and the talents from the very throne, what God has blessed you with, the blessings that have flown from him into your life. You say, well, I don't know. Well, we'll keep reading. You'll begin to know. She had to shut the door. Why? What do you think that is? If God's telling you to do something, and there are outside voices that are trying to hinder what he's called you to do, shut the door to every lie, shut the door to every Google search, shut the door to you getting in and trying to see what the world has to say about what God's called you to do, because it's not going to line up. It's time to shut the door and allow God's blessings to multiply in your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." That word faith in the Greek always is always a gift from God. That's God's divine persuasion upon your life. I am fully persuaded that God wants more for me than I could ever want for myself. That I am drawing near to him. I am fully persuaded God wants more for my life. God wants to use me more. God wants to speak through me more. That God has more boldness. God has more courage. God has more for me than I could ever even hope for myself. It says that it's impossible to please God without having our faith in God. Then that word diligently, we're going to God diligently. That's hard or excellent work. You know, this widow woman had to work. She had to do something about it. Isn't that a word? Word of God tells us you don't work, you don't eat. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just the truth. That it's time that we begin to exercise our faith. That we're going to go out and do what God's called us to do with excellent work. Pouring into the kingdom of God. Doing what God has asked us and called us to do with such excellence unto the Father that he is glorified. Then to seek him, to seek out, demand, inquire, require. When was the last time you just sought out God? What I like about this definition, it says the seeking is only as valuable as the motive which drives it. The seeking is only as valuable as the motive which drives it. What's your motive behind seeking God today? Is it for his kingdom, for his glory, for his honor? And then when you see the word reward, this actually means payment from heaven. I just don't think we've recognized that every spiritual blessing, that everything that God has, he says that whenever you come to me in faith and you diligently seek after me, I will reward you. That he has heavenly blessings, watering you, encouraging you, blessing you, taking care of your home and your family. Last year, I was a little inconsistent. The couple of years before that, I felt like I was in a battle. We were going through some hard things. And have you ever came out of a battle and you feel like you battled well spiritually, but then you want to reward yourself with earthly things? So I'm like, I deserve to eat banana bread 3 times a week at 10 o'clock at night. Whatever you reward yourself with, you will reap. Right?
That's good.
And I recognized that it wasn't filling my joy. My joy wasn't full in these things. Holy Spirit corrected me, and he said, you can either have earthly rewards or eternal rewards. What do you want? See, the earthly rewards will come. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We get so focused on the earthly rewards that we lose sight that there's an eternal heavenly reward that comes first and foremost. And that when we seek after him and diligently seek after him, Lord, what do you have for my life? God, I want to please you. When's the last time you said, God, I want to please you? For me, it was just a few weeks ago. God, I really want to please you. What do you have for my life? That whenever we do this, he puts all the pieces together. In Matthew 6:33, when it says, and all these things will be added unto you, it actually means every piece set down together for a purpose. We've been doing some puzzles at our house. We've got a dining room table we never use. It holds laundry or puzzles, okay? It's essentially what that does. And someone blessed us recently with a puzzle that was a Volkswagen bus puzzle. from the church. Super cute, a lot of fun. Joshua's like a puzzle master. He can just look at puzzles and be like, and put it all together. It's funny, I would see each one of my kids coming in and placing a puzzle here or there. Then our son Cohen had a sleepover, and he sent us a picture. And during the sleepover, him and three of his teenage friends finished the puzzle, which was so special because it was like super late. I don't even know. But when you think of seeking after him and his kingdom, and he says in all these things, it's God coming in one piece at a time, adding what you need. Do we see the full picture, you know, right away? No. But he says, when you seek after me, God, I'm seeking after you for my children. Lord, I'm seeking after you and what you've called me to do at Trailhead Church. God, I'm seeking after you with my marriage. Lord, I'm seeking after you with my job and my occupation. Lord, I'm seeking after you with my health. He says, all right, let me give you one piece at a time, and then I'm going to put it all together, and it's for a purpose. Isn't that beautiful to think about? That's who he is. It's time that we expect more from God and what he has for our life. You all, it's time that you begin to expect more at church. Yeah. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4 through 6. Are you with me? Yes. Yes? Yes? We're still here? All right. Psalm chapter 27, 4 through 6. This one thing that I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. This morning during worship, each of us should have been offering sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing, praising God unto the Lord with music. Why? Because he said, the one thing that I need to seek most is that when I come into the house of the Lord in the presence of God, I know that this is where God's glory dwells. But then, this is Old Testament. Now, we take what he's given us with us because we're containers of God's glory. So everything we come in here and receive unified together as the body of Christ, it's for a purpose. It's time that when we come together in this house, we expect more for the kingdom of God. We expect for lives to be transformed. We expect for people to be saved. We expect for people to be healed. We expect for every child in that children's ministry to be blessed. We expect for Switchback Youth and our teenagers that they're rising up and hearing the voice of God, declaring the name of Jesus above all names. We expect our small groups to flourish. We expect for every word that is preached to go forth and to see transformation. Why? Because this is God's house. What are you expecting when you come here? You should be expecting, God, where can I serve? Where can I water? Who can I encourage? Who can I bless today? And then he took me to this. We read Psalm 91, the protection psalm, often. But I was meditating on it a couple of weeks ago. In this first scripture, we'll read all about God protecting us. But we miss the beginning part of this. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. The protection comes when we trust in him. Whenever he becomes our refuge and our strength. And the Lord said, Anna, I'm not shattered, I'm sheltered. The widow woman could have found herself in a position of thinking, I'm just shattered. This is my life, my children will be taken. This is just I've been dealt a hard blow. Where she could have gone to the Lord, which she did, asked for his help, recognized that today I choose life. That, God, I'm going to expect more. I'm going to keep pouring. I love that she was surprised. Give me another vessel. They're all gone. She's just working diligently unto God, pouring and doing what God told her to do, expecting more. Not shattered, sheltered. This is who we are. Some of you have been in the wrong shadow. We're shadowed in the Almighty. That's who we're shadowed under. He's your refuge and your strength. Number three. Here we go. I'm getting there. God's blessing is a continual flow. God's blessing is a continual flow. God's blessing flows from Him to me and through me. God's blessing is for my family, my home, my future, to serve others, to grow God's kingdom. The widow woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, even knowing her reality, where she was at in life, she didn't neglect reality with this, but she knew that her home was a godly home. She knew that her husband was a man who feared the Lord, that she feared the Lord. She didn't deny reality. She faced it, and she chose to step into the flow of blessing that not only did God have for her, but God had for the generations to come. What did that oil do? Paid off their debts, and they were able to live off of it. That oil not only sustained her, it sustained her children. You see, whenever we begin to look at this place of watering and at this place of blessing, this blessing isn't just for you. This blessing is for generations to come, for your children's children. The same way I am so thankful that my parents watered me, that they encouraged me, that they themselves were watered so that I can come in and water this next generation. It's a continual flow. Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 through 15. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. The palm tree is known for being upright, useful. The cedar of Lebanon, it's known for its size, its strength, its durability, its beauty, its youthfulness. What God is flowing through you is useful and fruitful for His kingdom. That you are strong and upright. That you are right standing with God in Christ Jesus. Why? God's in the business of generational blessing. And I love that they say, even in their old age, some of us look at our life and you say, how can God do this now? Oh, He's still working today in every aspect of your life. I like the worship teams. Oh, Stephen's going to come on out. We're going to put this to practice here in just a minute. Whenever I walk through this and I think about God's blessing being a continual flow in my life, a set of scripture that I have held on to is found in Genesis chapter 17, verses 6 through 8. And I want us to think about the blessing of Abraham upon our life. It says in Genesis 17, 6 through 8, I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you. From generation to generation, this is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. In Galatians 3:29, it says, and if you belong to Christ, if you are in Him, then you are Abraham's descendants and spiritual heirs according to His promise. The same blessing that was upon Abraham, the generational blessing, also belongs to you if you are in Christ Jesus. That same blessing flows, and it's our choice each and every day whether or not we choose life, whether or not we expect God to do something great, and to know that His blessing is a continual flow from generation to generation. But it's going to take a heart of generosity, of saying, God, use me. Lord, I say yes. Lord, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to sow. God, I'm going to begin to speak a blessing over my home and my family. God, and you might need to repent. Lord, I've been cursing some things in my life that should not be cursed. Forgive me, Lord. Or maybe you've been in a place where you recognize that even when you've been serving, you've not quite seen just how beautiful it is to be a drink offering and pour out for the Lord. Maybe you didn't think you had anything to give but a little jar of oil. Well, aren't we so thankful that the moment we listen to God and begin to pour, He just causes that oil to flourish and multiply, and He adds the increase in every area of our life. I want us to stand to our feet. How we're going to close today you see Jesus, He's speaking to His disciples in John chapter 15 about being fruitful. When we talk about remaining in Him, the first question I guess I'm going to ask you before we pray is, are you a disciple of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? If so, He's speaking to you. His fruitfulness flows through His love that's in your heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is generosity, knowing that God has blessed me, knowing that God's given you unique talents and gifts and abilities so that you can be a blessing to others, knowing that you have a voice to declare that the Lord is your God, knowing that you have a voice to speak a blessing and not a curse, knowing that God wants you to speak a blessing over your life and your home, over this church. John chapter 15, 16 through 17, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have appointed you and purposefully planted you, purposefully placed you. God's planted you at Trailhead Church for a purpose. Why? So that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit would remain and be lasting. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name as my representative, He may give to you. This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Generosity. We're going to pray. And as we pray, I want you to begin to speak a blessing over your life. If you've not received Jesus, Lord, as your Lord and personal Savior, today is your day. Today's the day of salvation. If you've got some things you need to repent over that you know, listen, praise God for repentance. Turning from that sin, going to God, changing, allowing the Lord to transform us. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit speak. So as I pray, I want you to pray as well. We're all in this together. Amen.